Well, we continue on today in our series of messages drawn from the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. We're covering some of the big topics, the big themes that recur in the book of Jeremiah and really throughout the prophetic books of the Bible. Today's topic is one that is really simple and really important. Important for every one of us here. It's a topic addressed many times in the prophetic scriptures, but we're going to focus today on just one passage of scripture, just four verses found in Jeremiah chapter 17. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 17, we'll begin reading at verse 5. If you'd like to stand up for about 20 seconds as we read these verses, you're sure welcome to do that. Jeremiah 17, verse 5, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." You may be seated. Some of you are already thinking that these words sound vaguely familiar. And that's because the first psalm, Psalm number 1, has some similar imagery. But here in Jeremiah, the message is actually different than what is in Psalm 1. These verses present a contrast between two kinds of people. And I found it helpful in just seeing the parallel structure of the verses to adjust the formatting a little bit and to show it as I have on the screen here. We're told about one man who is cursed and another man who is blessed. And we're told the difference between them. One trusts in mankind, the other trusts in the Lord. And then we're told the consequences of this trust. One will be like a bush in the desert, the other will be like a tree planted by the water. And then we're given some additional details of what their respective lives are like. And one thing that strikes me first off here is how extreme the language is between these two people. He doesn't say one guy is going to be blessed a little more than the other guy. The other guy will be blessed a little less. But it says the first guy is cursed. It's cursed by God, and the other is blessed by God. It's extremes, right? The best thing in the world is for God to bless us. The worst thing in the world is for God to curse us. So we're to get the idea these are major differences with huge ramifications. And so what's the difference between the cursed man and the blessed man? What makes up the difference? Why does God deal with them so differently? Well, the answer is in that little underlined word, trust, isn't it? It's about who they trust. Both guys trust in something. All of us here are trusting in someone or something. We're all trusting somebody. The question is, who are we trusting? Who are we trusting in? And these two examples, these two guys in the verses, they are trusting in two very different things. And so that's really our question this morning for ourselves, is to ask, who am I trusting in? Who am I really, truly trusting in? Not just to give the correct sitting in church kind of answer, but to really examine ourselves. Who do I really trust right now? And so to help us answer that question for ourselves, I thought I'd throw out a few additional questions. If you're having a rough day, if you're feeling down, what is it that lifts you up, that makes you feel happy again? That might be the thing you're trusting in. When you feel all empty inside, what is it that fills you, that satisfies you, that fulfills you at last? When you feel unstable, what do you instinctively reach out for? What is the thing that stabilizes your life? What is the bedrock down there that you're standing on that you know this is firm, this is real? What is it? That might be what you're trusting in. When some big problem happens, who do you turn to? Who do you expect will have the answers, will have the solution, will have the help? Who's going to help you get through the rough time? See? When your future looks really bleak, who is it that can reassure you that it's all going to be okay? That's who you're trusting in. When you feel guilty, morally dirty, who is it that makes you clean? Who is it that you are absolutely sure will never disappoint you? That's who you're trusting in. And so now let's compare our answer to that question, who you're trusting in, to what we see here in God's Word. Let's talk about this first guy first. What is he trusting in? What's it say? He's trusting in man, trusting in mankind. And he makes flesh his strength. This guy trusts in people, all kinds of people, and all the resources that people can provide. Now, I think the first people, the first humans that we trust in are ourselves, right? We start right here. I'm going to handle this. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to solve the problem. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to pull together and power on through it. I can handle this. We hate feeling weak, don't we? We want to be smart. We want to be competent. We want to be independent. We want to be tough. Trusting in man, in ourselves. There's a verse earlier in Jeremiah, in chapter 9, verse 23, where it says, "Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches." So there's wisdom, there's power, and riches. I mean, those are the three things that make a man feel strong, feel invincible. Those are the things we look to in ourselves and our own resources. The verse goes on and says, "Don't boast in those things, but let him who boast of this, that he understands and knows me, says the Lord." So we start out trusting in ourselves. That's the first man we trust. But then at some point we have to confront our own inadequacy. We cannot handle everything in ourselves and we can't do it all. And so then we naturally transfer our trust out to some other people. We're going to trust in man. We're going to trust in some other people. We need a support group around us, maybe. Certain people that make us feel okay, that take care of us. You might trust a friend group. You might trust a spouse. You might trust your parents. You might trust your employer for your ultimate security. People do. They trust in people. And of course, it's not to diminish the value of good people in our lives. God blesses us so much through other people, of course. We're grateful for them. But the question is, where does your ultimate trust, your ultimate confidence lie? Is it just in men? Is it just in people? Is it in yourself? Is it in your friends, your family? Or maybe a person's trust in mankind goes broader than that. It's not just a few individuals, but it's society seen more broadly. I mean, some people trust in the government. Some people trust in a certain political cause. A few years ago, we were frequently encouraged to trust in science, right? It's like the idea that there's these experts out there, and we need to trust what these experts tell us. Put your trust there. Another way people are tempted to trust in man, and this especially applied back in the time of the prophets, you see this keep coming up, is to trust in man for military protection. And so you have these scenarios in the Old Testament where Israel gets invaded by some outside force, and the leaders of Israel are forced to make a decision. Do we trust in God, or do we trust in man to get us out of this fix? And so when they decided to trust in man, they would go hire some mercenaries to fight for them, or they'd try to make an alliance with some pagan nation to try to bail them out. Or sometimes they would just try to pay off the invaders. It's a way of trusting in man. There's an example of this would be a verse in Isaiah 31, verse 1. It says, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord." So they're putting their trust in this military power, trusting in man that way, but not trusting God. And that leads to the next thing that he says about this first guy. They trust in man, they make flesh their strength, but then it says, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. What chilling words. What chilling words. It's describing somebody whose heart used to be toward the Lord. He used to be focused on God. He used to be trusting God, but now he started trusting man instead. And as soon as he started trusting in man, his heart was drawn away from God. See, it's an either or situation. You start trusting in man, you lose confidence in God. You become disillusioned with God. Maybe angry at God. So when you start trusting in man, whether it's trusting yourself, trusting other people, trusting groups of people, you're always going to be drawn away from the Lord Himself. It's one or the other. Who are you trusting? There's a verse in Psalm 118 that brings out the either-or dynamic. It says, Psalm 118, verse 8, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. There's a kind of a blunt verse that I like in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. It just says, "Stop regarding man, whose breath of life is in his nostrils. For why should he be esteemed?" That's quite a thought, isn't it? His breath of life is in his nostrils. I think it's the idea that nobody's guaranteed another breath, right? Even the wealthiest, most powerful people in the world, they don't know when they're going to stop breathing, right? All they've got is the air in their nose. Why regard man? Why put man in an elevated place above the Lord? Well, in contrast to all that, then we see the second man, the man who's blessed. What about him? Who does he trust in? What does it say? Trust in the Lord. And just so we get the point, it says it twice. He trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. So just with a little variation to emphasize that this guy is all about God. It's all about God. God is his confidence. God is his bedrock that he's standing on. God is his fulfiller. God is his joy giver. God is his guilt remover. God is the one he looks to in his hardest and bleakest days. God is the one he's absolutely certain will never fail him or forsake him. This man is confident about God's character, right? When he thinks of God, when he thinks of God's power, he thinks of God's sovereignty, he thinks of God's love and God's grace and God's goodness and God's mercy. He thinks of God being unchanging. He thinks of God being faithful always. He thinks of God being holy, God being just. His confidence is in this God. He's confident that God is the way he's revealed in Scripture. And he's also confident in God's words, that what God has said is true, that the promises God has made can be relied upon. God will keep his word. God will be faithful to his promises. This man knows that God is in control of every detail that touches his life. and that God is wise in how He manages all those details that touch His life. And God is loving in that process, that He loves Him personally in the way He manages the details that touch His life. His trust is in the Lord, period. That is His ultimate rest. God, the living God. So this blessed guy, he just keeps on choosing day after day to cling to the Lord Himself. And he chooses, this is an act of the will, isn't it? He chooses to keep trusting the Lord even when his personal wishes and hopes and dreams are not coming true. Things aren't happening the way he wanted them to happen. He still trusts the Lord. Even when God is doing a bunch of things that don't make any sense to him. He says, I don't know why. I don't understand it. He says, I'm still going to trust the Lord. This man has the attitude of Job. They're in the book of Job, where in the midst of the fiercest trials you could imagine, Job at one point cries out, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. If God just up and kills me, I'm still going to hope in God. Now all of us sitting here, we know that's the right answer. And trusting God is the church answer, the Bible answer. But let's not pretend that this is easy for us to do. To trust God day in, day out. Now some days it is easy to trust God. I mean, some days it's like spiritual reality is just crystal clear. And you just feel like, well, of course I'll trust God. It's the obvious rational thing to trust the Lord. He loves me. He's good. He's shown his faithfulness in so many ways. Of course I can trust Him. We feel that way some days. But I think especially when rough trials like continue on. Or maybe feel like they're getting worse. It's like, man, I thought it was bad last month. Now it's even worse, you know, and no hope in sight. And it drags on weeks, months, years. It is hard to just keep on trusting the Lord. Now you start out trusting the Lord and you had all the right answers, and over time you kind of get worn down by the burden of it. And of course, the influences around us don't help. I mean, the devil comes along and he starts whispering all kinds of slanders against God. He says, well, no, God is not good. God is not loving. He's not wise. He's not caring for you, whatever. All kinds of things like that. And of course, the world, the lost society around us in so many ways is telling us we're fools to be devoted to God, to give Him our lives and our own flesh. It's like it's the world, the devil, and our own flesh makes it hard. Our flesh finds it easier to trust in things that we can see and touch, right? And it's harder for us to trust in a God whom none of us have ever seen, right? This life of faith isn't that easy. Sometimes it feels like it's an all-out fight of faith to just keep trusting God another day. I feel like I've had to learn this basic lesson about trusting in the Lord about 100 different times in my Christian life. And it shouldn't take so many times, but it's like each new situation, I've got to learn this lesson all over again. And, you know, maybe it's this way with you guys too, where something new happens and you start, you're, first instinct, it shouldn't be this way, but I think my first instinct is to trust in man. My first instinct is to think just on a human level. You know, here's this problem. How are we going to fix this problem? What's going on? Who's the bad guys? Who's the good guys? However we process things. To just think of human things. But then at some point, you come to your senses and you realize, whoa, I just need to trust God in this. I need to pray about this and trust God with this new problem. And it comes back here. I just have to trust the Lord. He's in control. He loves me. He's got this figured out. He knows what He's doing. And so we need this message again and again. I know I've preached on trusting in God a bunch of times over the years. Probably better than I'm doing it today. But you know, this week, my soul needed this sermon. I needed this content myself. You know, The Lord brought me to repentance in my office this morning, thinking about these things and ways I've not trusted the Lord and the problems we get into when we don't. And so we need to keep hearing this. Just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. It's simple, but it's necessary for us all. And so how much does it matter? How much does it matter if we're walking in faith, trusting the Lord or not? If we're trusting in man and in ourselves and other people and other resources. What are the outcomes of these two different life paths that are contrasted here? Does it make an actual practical difference? We'll look at the two pictures that the verses paint. Two very different pictures. It's one, on the one hand, it's a picture of barrenness. The other, it's a picture of prosperity. A flourishing life. And so here we've got this first guy who's trusting in himself and trusting in people and all of their resources. And it says in verse 6, he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. It says he's like a little shrub in the rocky desert ground. He's always dry. Shrivelly, not growing, not producing anything, often in a place of isolation. He can't do anybody any good. And then he compares that to the guy who is consistently trusting the Lord. And it says in verse 8, he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream, will not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves will be green. It will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. What refreshing, hopeful language that is. So what do you notice about this guy, this second guy? This guy down here, what do we notice? Well, the obvious thing is he has a consistent water source. He's planted by a stream of water. There's life there all the time. There's life accessible to him. There's also growth. It says it extends its roots by a stream. So he keeps growing. It keeps putting out more roots. He's gathering more life, more moisture over time. You also notice that he is stable. He's not up and down. He says, regardless of the circumstances around him, it says his leaves are green all the time. Regardless of the heat or the drought or whatever else is happening, his leaves are always green. He always has life. He's always flourishing. Independent of circumstances. And he's also secure. It says he doesn't fear the heat or get anxious in the drought. And finally, this guy is productive. It says year in, year out, regardless of what's happening, he keeps on yielding fruit. Right? Fruit that can bless others. What a picture of what we want to be as Christians, isn't it? Now see, lost people do not understand this. Lost people imagine that Christians are going to be in real big trouble if anything really bad ever happens to them. Hey Christian, you got cancer now. I bet you really regret trusting God all those years. Because look what fix you're in. But that's not how the sick Christian feels at all, is it? Because when Christians suffer, we have answers. We have the Word of God. That's full of promises, full of explanation, full of comfort for us. We know what to do. We know how to process that. We know how to think that through. We approach it in faith, like we're talking about. The believer also has the inner ministry of the Holy Spirit. He has that river of life, that connection to God Himself coming in every day, the life of Christ coming into our souls. And so that combination of God's Word and God's Spirit within us enables the suffering Christian to go through the fiercest trials, not shriveling up and dying, but flourishing, right? Their leaves stay green. They're producing fruit. They're not scared. They're not up and down. They're stable. They're strong. They're victorious. That's real. And in fact, a Christian will likely bear more spiritual fruit during the hardest times. It's very common for a person to have more joy and bring more glory to God while they're dying of cancer or whatever the really nightmare scenario we would imagine. It's because he's got the stream of living water flowing in all the time. By contrast, it is the unbeliever who has nowhere to turn when the crisis comes. I mean, they've been trusting in man all their life. They've been trusting themselves and other people. And at some point, something's going to happen that's so big and so bad, there's no people that's going to fix it. They know there's no answer anywhere else. Where are those people going to turn? It's a heartbreaking thought. People that don't know the Lord, where do they go when it comes to their family? See, they're left with despair. They're out there in the desert, all alone. Our hearts go out to them. But even we who are saved, we admit, like I already said, that there are degrees in how consistently we live this life of faith. Sometimes not as consistent as we should. I mean, aren't there times when we catch ourselves with our trust, with our focus, too much on the human side of things and not enough trusting in the Lord? That simple reality. And you know what? Those are the times when our soul feels the most dried out. When we feel most like we're in the desert, when we're shrivelly, when we're frustrated. Those are the times when we're unstable. Those are the times when we're up and down spiritually. We're inconsistent. Those are the times when we're unfruitful. You know? That's when you don't have any spiritual overflow to minister to anybody else. Because you feel dried out yourself. Well, this scripture says the key to the whole thing, the key to the whole thing, the difference between these two very different lives, it comes down to this very simple question that we started with. Who are you trusting in? Who are you trusting in right now? Not who were you trusting in years ago, but right now. Who are you really trusting in? With whatever things are happening in our personal life, who are you trusting in? Things going on in your family, who are you trusting in? Things going on in our church, who are you trusting in? Things going on in our country, who are we trusting in? The solution is so simple. Just trust in the Lord. Trust in His character. Trust in His Word. Trust in His Spirit. Trust in His gospel. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. We've all memorized that verse. That's so important, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Be committed completely to this idea. I can trust God. I can trust God in this time right now. Trust Him more consistently. Trust Him in more areas. Learn more of His precious promises and apply them in new ways in your life. Isn't that how it works? You read something in the Bible or somebody mentions something, you think, well, that's a promise from God. I need to believe that. I need to walk in that. I need to apply that to me. There's real help there. We do that. We become more like this flourishing tree planted by the streams of water. You know, one thing I've discovered, I thought about this a while this week, is that I know for myself it's possible for me to pray consistently about a problem but not really rest in God in that area. You know what I mean? It's like I prayed about it and stewed about it and worried about it, but I've not really rested in God, not really trusted God with it. It's like, well, I've given that to God. God's going to take care of it. You know, it's going to be okay. I brought that to the Lord. I can trust the Lord in that thing that's bothering me. And brethren, as we learn to do this, to grow in this life of faith, we will increasingly experience this abundance, this flourishing of spiritual life in our souls that the Scripture describes. And I want to really emphasize the point that this flourishing will happen regardless of the circumstances around us. See, we have this idea, you know, if only I can get through this rough patch, then I'll be able to really enjoy the Lord. Then I'll be able to be a strong Christian again or whatever. That is not the idea here. The idea is you flourish in the rough patch. You flourish in the hardest times. Because the life of God is coming into your soul continually. Your leaf stays green. Your fruit continues to be produced. And so on. I find that thought super encouraging. Don't you? That whatever the dark stuff that's happening, whatever's bugging you, you say, well, but this verse says, I can flourish right now. Right now. I can be flourishing like a tree planted by streams of living water. Been talking to Christians here today, but I want to say something to you that are not Christians yet. I've been telling the Christians again and again, hey, we just need to trust God. We just need to trust God. And you know what? If you're not a Christian here, it's the exact same message for you. You need to trust God too. Just trust in the Lord. That's how you become a Christian, is just trust in the Lord. Just trust Him. It's really very simple. Humble yourself and trust God with a childlike confidence. And that all begins by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You trust in the Lord Jesus. You trust that Jesus did it all for us to save us. Jesus paid for your sins by dying on the cross in our place. And Jesus rose from the dead to give us eternal life. Do you trust in this Jesus? Do you trust Him? That's what it means to be a Christian, to trust Him. To trust Him with your whole life, your whole future. I can trust this Jesus with everything that's important to me. No strings attached. I can trust this Jesus who has proven His love in the biggest way possible by dying on the cross for my sins. Did you kids follow the story that Robert shared earlier? How that mama hen laid down her life to save all of her chicks? That was love, wasn't it? That was an ultimate sacrifice. Those chicks never had to worry, did our mom really love us? She'd proven it, right? The biggest way she could. And that's the way it is with Jesus. He's proven His love. Why can't we trust Him? Why can't we trust Him now? So if you're not a Christian, trust in the Lord. Become a Christian. You'll not regret it. The Bible says, no one who puts their trust in Him will be disappointed, will be put to shame. No one ever follows Jesus, really follows Jesus, really knows Jesus, and finds Him to be a disappointment. People disappoint us all the time, right? When you trust in man, likely to be disappointed, at least sometimes, by some people. When you trust in the Lord, He will be faithful. Be faithful to the end. You can trust Him for your whole life. You'll find Him to be faithful every time. Amen.